Blog Talk Radio.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay. Welcome to Prayer Warriors Needed, our ministry training school, Bible study, Prayer Warriors session. Tonight we're looking at the Pentateuch. We are continuing with our new module, and that is a study of the Old Testament. We're looking at the first five books of the Bible. We did Genesis last time, and tonight we're doing all about Exodus. Look at a summary form. Course objectives is to identify basic outline of the book of Exodus, identify the main message of the theme of Exodus, and identify the revelation and promise of Christ in the book of Exodus. We'll be looking at redemption from Egypt, the Christ of Exodus. We'll look at key sections to Exodus. We will also look at prominent subjects in the book of Exodus. So as we continue to study the Bible and questions. If you have a question, please hesitate. And we will open up with prayer and move right into the lesson. God, we give you praise and glory. We thank you, God, for another march that you allowed us to see. Do it, but you did. And we give you praise. We give you glory. We exalt your name. We magnify your name, Heavenly Father. God, I pray for all targeted individuals. Every one of us, that you continue to bless us and you wage against every attack that's coming at us. God, teach us to have the skills to deal effectively, counteract and block attacks, the assaults, the mind control programmings, different things that this program throw them off. Courage, stamina, to endure, to learn from what we're going through and to become better people, to be stronger, to become wiser, to not let the devil have any ground in our lives. God, we just give you praise and glory that you allowed us to be able to come together again to praise and exalt your name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, God, for our elders. I thank you, God, for my mother. I thank you, God, that you've kept her and you watched over her, and I give you all the praise. I thank you, God, for Anne's mother, for Amy's mother, Heavenly Father, and I ask you, God, to watch over them. Irene's mother, bless them. Keep your wings, Lord. Build a shield against them, over them, Heavenly Father. Build a shield against any type of demonic attack, Heavenly Father. God, I bring before you the legal system. I ask you, God, to open up the windows of heaven that demons are doing what they do. And, God, we know that you're the God of impossible. We ask you, God, to take control over that judiciary. Turn things around like they've never been turned around. Let each and every demon in there try to usurp authority they do not have. Let them find out, God, that you are all-sovereign, all-powerful. God, we give you glory. We pray over the judicial branch, executive branch, and legislative branch of God. We ask you, God, for your people to work together to retake this earth from demonic control. We ask you, God, to use your people to take back our governing structures, bind up the spirit of disabling public protection, have them work against people, to have them work against our right. God, we bind that demon spirit up, and we bind up of the secret, horrific programmings. Bind up the spirit of mind control programming. Bind up electronic torture. We bind up legal abuse syndrome. Bind up usurpations in high places, demons taking over. We bind up the spirit of ghostwriting, sending out legal documents that a person has no knowledge of. It was ghostwritten by a demon, yet trying to have bind up the spirit of simulation of process, bind up fraudulent executive orders, fraudulent judgments, bind up the spirit of fraudulent debt collection. We ask you, God, to give each and every person stamina, that be able to show the devil that he's a liar, that this country does not run off of deception. God, we just give you praise and glory that we know in your time things are going to turn around. But we ask you, God, lead and direct us in the meantime, in between, to lead us to the right books, the right sources. Your spirit can be used to us to Shaka Zulu, let them know they cannot continue the oppression, madness they have inflicted on innocent. God, give the people the strength to fight back, Heavenly Father, with knowledge. Let them use the pen, as your word says, that the word will teach us to use our hands for war. Have to do things on the realm they do things on. God, we thank you, God, for the spiritual realm. Thank you, God, that we have the privilege of prayer. We thank you, God, that we know that there are more of your angels, more of good forces on this earth, controlling this earth, than demon forces. God, I ask you, God, to lead your angels through the people, move these demon forces doing damage to them. Lord, bless our children, our babies. Bless our bloodlines, our loved ones, nieces, nephews. Our bloodline throughout will be men in honor, men in worship, God, that will praise and exalt your name in the midst of whatever this world may be up to 10, 20 years from now, that they will be rounded in the word of God, that they will stand on God's word, that no demon from the pit of hell will be able to destroy the rapport that our bloodlines have with you. God, we thank you for being sovereign. We thank you, God, for being mighty. Thank you, God, for just being a merciful God. We thank you, God, for covering us in many situations. We thank you, God, for rescuing us. Thank you, God, for all you've done, all you're going to do. God, we give you praise and glory, but we need your help, God. We need your help, Heavenly Father, to just bring your people together to band up, bind up this spirit of oppression that is running rampant. Bind it up in the name of Jesus, with the blood of Jesus, that spirit of stealing from people, impoverishing people so that demons can look superior, so that demons can run around and do as they want. We bind it up in the name of Jesus, God. Bring your people together to take this earth from these demons. I ask you, God, to make each and every person whole that has been torn apart, that has lost a loved one, that has lost finances, diabolical programs. I bind up every spirit of people not doing something about it. I bind up the spirit of laziness. I bind up the spirit of just getting the next person should do it. I ask you, God, to let the Holy Spirit hit each and every person's backbone, their inner linings, God. Get serious about letting the devil know he's a liar. Joining in forces, take this earth from demons. God, we give you praise and glory. Thank you, God, for the privilege of prayer. Thank you, God, for the week coming before us. We ask you, God, to bless us and open the windows of heaven. Let us pass every test that is presented before us. Cover our children, our nieces, our nephews. Let them bring them into the kingdom already. And don't let Satan have them. We bind up booby traps. Bind up every trap towards young people. We ask you, God, to cover them. Give them that inner strength, that conscience, that they can hear walking and telling them to go another way. Bless our children, the babies. Watch over them, God. Protect them. God, I ask you, God, to bind up this depopulation programming, eugenic programming. Going into countries, some lady from Liberia coming to New York to talk about some virus that killed off 4,000 people in that country. God, we bind up ignorance. We bind up the spirit of not understanding eugenics. Sending out viruses to kill off a whole continent of people, people of color. Every one of those eugenicists, God, we put them in your hands. Everyone sitting here plotting and planning to put innocent people in medical programs, whether it be electronic chippings, electronic torture, killing off people with these deadly viruses. We plead the blood of Jesus on each and every one of their lives, that God, that they will find out that you are all sovereign, you are almighty. They will be exposed. They will be handled accordingly, according to the laws on this earth, the same laws that are being used to incarcerate innocent people, to harm innocent people, that curse will be reversed. The demons that are doing these things to innocent people will face what their works have entitled them to face. God, we thank you. Know everything that you do, God, has a reason. Maybe the reason that you've allowed things to go this far is for the awakening, so that the whole earth would just be able to blatantly see that this is not earth created for his people to live under. Sin pot is full. We ask you, God, to just lead and direct us to empty out that pot, to encourage people to walk righteously, God, so that your blessings can come upon this earth wide and beautiful. God, I thank you for all prayer warriors. I thank you, God, for praying people. I thank you, God, for people doing their share to bind up demon forces, to expose unrighteousness, to expose demons. Ask you, God, to cover them and protect them and watch over them. God, we give you praise and glory, and we ask you, Heavenly Father, to lead this lesson. Let us leave here with information and knowledge we did not have previously. Give us a background into the legal system, counsel of heaven, the laws. Where did this stuff come from? Thank you, God, for the Old Testament. You're able to read it, analyze it. Let the Holy Spirit guide and lead us, direct us, and give us knowledge and information that can help us. Skills. Give us spiritual knowledge. Knock out demons on the earthly realm. Praise you. We thank God to continue. Send your angels to watch over and protect us. And we thank you, God, that we are under your wings and fully a weapon formed against us shall prosper. Your wings. Okay. Prayer. I'm going to. My Lord, make me a lover of the truth. Make me careful of my thoughts and the words I would speak, that I may not think selfishly and speak cruelly, but keep myself holy unto thee. Lord God, teach me this day to know that the veriest trifle often keeps happiness alive, and that the smallest trifle often may kill it. I pray that now thou wilt put within my heart that touch of love which brings consideration for others and the care that brings the greatest happiness. Lord God, quiet me if I'm not calm. Soul may be able to contemplate and have an opportunity to grow. Help me that I may be able, even with discouragement, to have the true perception of life. Lord God, I thank you for the silent ways of revelation which bring hopeful community. Help me to be composed, that my life may not create a noise and my soul miss the messages that come from the depths of truth and looking at Exodus. We're going to make comparisons here. Look at the Passover lamb. We're going to analyze the Passover lamb and Jesus Christ. And we'll take a look at some of the plagues from the Old Testament. And the basic outline of the book of Exodus. And we'll look at the main message, keys to Exodus, and the prominent subjects in the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus is the second book of the Bible. And take a look what we have here. The first part of Exodus, we see the redemption from Egypt. And that's Exodus 1, The need for redemption from Egypt is discussed, Israel's rapid multiplication, Israel's severe affliction, Israel's planned extinction, of preparation of the leaders of the redemption, Moses is redeemed. Moses tries to redeem by his murder. Israel calls upon God. God calls upon Moses. Moses accepts the call. Israel accepts the call of Moses. God's redemption of Israel from Egypt. Moses accepted the call. He, in fact, helped deliver, by accepting his assignment, he helped deliver Egypt out of the hand of the wicked. All right, God's redemption of Israel from Egypt. Moses confronts Pharaoh by word. Moses confronts Pharaoh with miracles. Moses confronts Pharaoh through plagues. Israel redeemed by blood of the Passover. Israel redeemed by power from Egypt. The preservation of Israel in the wilderness. We have the preserved. They were preserved from thirst. They were preserved from hunger. They were preserved again from thirst. They were preserved from defeat. They were preserved from chaos. Then the revelation comes from God, Exodus 19. The revelation of the covenant, preparation of the people, the revelation, judgments, formal ratification of the covenant, tabernacle, the priest is discussed in Exodus, institutions of the covenant, the response of Israel to the covenant. Israel willfully breaks the covenant. Moses intercedes for Israel's salvation. God does not abandon Israel. God renews the covenant with Israel. Israel willingly obeys the covenant. God fills the tabernacle with glory. Exodus, Book of Redemption. Why? The Book of Exodus reports, first, of God's deliverance of Israel as he had promised Abraham. So much sin going on. God had to bring them through their many attacks. This second book of the Pentateuch picks up the story where Genesis left off, and so it is a goes in order. It follows right after Genesis. In Genesis, the divine purpose is revealed. In Exodus, the divine purpose is exhibited. This deliverance, and the divine purpose is deliverance, this deliverance from bondage was a crucial event in the experience of the Israelites. Centuries later, many authors of the prophetic books and Psalms acclaimed it as the most significant miracle in their history. The deliverance is a beautiful type of sinners' redemption from the bondage of sin. Thus, Exodus is rightly called. Thus, Exodus is rightly called the Book of Redemption. A comparison of Genesis and Exodus. Genesis talks about human effort and failure. Exodus talks about divine power and triumph. Talks about word of promise. Exodus is the work of fulfillment. Genesis, people chosen. Exodus demonstrates a people called. Genesis talks about God's electing mercy. Exodus talks about God's electing man. Genesis, revelation of nationality. Exodus is a What is the Christ of Exodus? Exodus contains no direct messianic prophecies, but it is full of types and portraits of Christ. Here are six. Moses. Moses is a type of Christ. Both Moses and Christ were prophets, priests, and kings. Although Moses was never made king, he functioned as the ruler of Israel. both were kinsmen, redeemers. Both are endangered, were endangered in infancy. Both voluntarily renounced power and wealth. Both were deliverers, lawgivers, and mediators. The Passover. We're looking at the Christ of Exodus. That was a comparison of Moses and Jesus Christ. Passover. John 1:29, verse 36, and 1 Corinthians 5:7 make it clear that Christ is our Passover lamb. Seven feasts. Each of these feasts portrays some aspect of the ministry of Christ. The Exodus. Paul relates baptism to the Exodus event because baptism symbolizes death to the old and identification with the new. Romans 6:2, 1 Corinthians 10:3. Christ of Exodus, we will see the tabernacle is demonstrating the tabernacle. In its materials, colors, furniture, and arrangement, the tabernacle clearly speaks of the person of Christ and the way of redemption. The development is progressive from suffering, blood, death, to beauty, holiness, and the glory of God. The tabernacle is theology in a physical form. The high priest. In several ways, the high priest foreshadows the ministry of Christ, our great high priest. Hebrews 4:14, Hebrews 9, verses 11-12. Some of the keys to the book of Exodus. Our key word, redemption. Central to the book of Exodus is the concept of redemption. Israel was redeemed from bondage in Egypt and into a covenant relationship with God. From the redemption of Moses in the Nile to the redeeming presence of God in the tabernacle, Exodus records God's overwhelming acts of deliverance by which he demonstrates his right to be Israel's king. Our key verses, Exodus 6, verse 6, and Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. Our key chapters, Exodus 12, 14. The climax, entire Old Testament, is recorded Exodus chapters 12 through 14. Climax of the entire Old Testament quoted 12 to 14. The salvation of Israel through blood, the Passover, and through power, the Red Sea. The Exodus is the central event of the Old Testament as the cross is to the New Testament. Again, the climax of the entire Old Testament is recorded in chapters 12 through 14 in the book of Exodus, which is the salvation of Israel through blood, which is the Passover, and through power, the Red Sea. The Exodus is the central event of the Old Testament as the cross is of the New Testament. That's the comparison to the New Testament where Jesus sacrificed. Exodus, you will see the different type of sacrifice that was done. Comparison. Survey. Outline of Exodus. Exodus abounds with God's powerful redemptive acts on behalf of his oppressed people. Begins in pain and ends in liberation. It moves from the groaning of the people to the glory of God. Oh, I pray. Thy movement. Again. Exodus abounds with God's powerful redemptive acts on behalf of his begins in pain, moves from the groaning of the people to the glory of God. It is the continuation of the story that begins in Genesis with the 70 descendants of Jacob who moved from Canaan to Egypt, plied under adverse conditions to a multitude of over 2 million. When the Israelites finally turn to God for deliverance from their bondage, God quickly responds by redeeming them with an outstretched arm, great judgments, Exodus 6:6. God faithfully fulfills his promise made to Abraham centuries before. Genesis 15, verses 13, 14. Exodus falls into two parts. First part is redemption from Egypt. That's Exodus 1, 18, chapters 1 through 18. Then the second part is revelation from God. That's discussed in Exodus 19, 20. Redemption from Egypt, first part. Exodus chapters 1 through 18. After 4 centuries of slavery, the people of Israel cried to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for deliverance. God has already prepared Moses for this and has commissioned him at the burning bush to stand before Pharaoh as the advocate for Israel. However, Pharaoh hardens his heart. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? Exodus 5:2. So the first part, redemption for Egypt. God soon reveals himself to Pharaoh. Series of object lessons, the 10 plagues. These plagues grow in severity until the 10th one brings death to the firstborn of every household of Egypt. Israel is redeemed from the plague by means of the Passover lamb. Israelites' faith in God at this point becomes the basis for their national redemption. As they leave, by a pillar of fire and saves them from pursuing army. The miraculous crossing of the sea, wilderness, he protects and sustains them. Second part, Exodus 5. That's Exodus 19, chapters 19 through 40. Now that people have experienced God's deliverance, guidance, and protection, they are ready to be taught what God expects of them. The redeemed people must now be set apart to walk with God. This is why the emphasis moves from narration in Exodus chapters 1 through 18 to legislation. Exodus chapters 19. Sinai, Moses receives God's moral, civil, and ceremonial laws, as well as the pattern for the tabernacles to be built in the wilderness. After God judges the people for their worship of the golden calf, the tabernacle is constructed and consecrated. It is a building of beauty in a barren land. Excuse me, and reveals much about the person of God in the way of redemption. Exodus originated with the Greek Exodus, meaning Exodus, departure, or exit. The title appropriately represents of the book, Israelites' miraculous flight from bondage in Egypt. Moses probably wrote this book soon after the completion of the tabernacle described in Exodus 35-40. The date in the last half of the 15th century Christ. Historical setting. The date of Exodus is 1445 B.C. This is derived from two sets of facts. The arrival of Jacob and his family in Egypt. The duration of the stay in Egypt we find by calculation, Exodus 12:40 and Galatians 17. Exodus is also the beginning of Solomon's temple. The interval since the Exodus from Egypt is also by calculation. By the time of their departure from Egypt, the Israelites probably number over 2 million. Exodus 12:37, Numbers 1:46. The Passover celebrated each year. Since the time of Israel's departure of Egypt, about 1445 B.C., the Hebrew people, later called Jews, have been celebrating the Passover each year in the spring, generally near the time of Good Friday and Easter. Moses rose up to deliver Israel. After more than 400 years of bondage in Egypt, boy, that's a long time. The TI program's not that long. After more than 400 years of bondage in Egypt, God determined to deliver the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from slavery, raised up Moses, and commissioned him to be the leader of the Exodus. In obedience to God's call, Moses confronted Pharaoh with God's mandate to let the people go. To impress on him the seriousness of this message from the Lord, Moses, by God's power, called down plagues as judgment on Egypt. Several of these, Pharaoh agreed to let the Israelites go, but then reneged on his decision once the plague was lifted. A lot of power. Pharaoh reneged. The time came for the tenth and final plague, the one that would give the Egyptians no other choice than to drive the Israelites out. God passed over the land of Egypt to strike down every firstborn, man and beast that was not covered by the blood of Passover lamb. Exodus 12:12. Since the Israelites were also living in Egypt, how could they escape the destruction? The Lord gave a specific command to his people. To obey it would bring his protection to each Hebrew family. Each family with a year-old male lamb without defect and kill it at twilight on the 14th day of the smaller households could share a single. Some of the blood of the slain two sides on the top of the door frames of the. God promised to pass over those homes that blood sprinkled on. Passover. To pass over or to spare. Thus, by the blood of the slain Israelites, spared judgment of death, all Egyptian firstborn. God commanded not because he could not otherwise distinguish Israelites from the Egyptians, but because he wanted to teach his people the importance of obedience, the Lamb of God. Centuries later, would take away the sin of the world. Wow, that's deep. So, the Israelites living in Egypt, Moses was a person. If anybody has any interpretation or comment, you're welcome to. Moses was the chosen person. God gave Moses special powers. He put plagues on Egypt in order for the king to let the Israelites out of bondage. Pharaoh was the king. I mean, after he got Moses to stop the plagues, he reneged. Plagues. God allowed the plagues to come back. And he gave instructions, excuse me, for his people to protect themselves from this final, the tenth plague. It was a deadly plague. And he told them to find a sheep that was flawless, to use that blood and put it on the doors of each of their homes. They would be protected. It was more a lesson in obedience than anything else. Those who did it, covered. And that's where we get Lamb of God. Lamb of God was because they shed the blood of the flawless sheep to protect them. And New Testament for the Lamb of God, because his blood, to mankind the opportunity to have redemption, salvation. So on that particular night, the Israelites were supposed to dress and ready to leave, Exodus 12:11. They were commanded the lamb, prepare bitter herbs, bread made with approach. They would then be ready to eat the food in haste. Egyptians came, begged them to leave the country. Everything happened as the Lord had said. Exodus 12:29. What are the prominent subjects? That is the historical background for the prominent subjects in Exodus. 8 words represent the multicolored narrative of Exodus. 8 words are bondage, Moses, plagues, Passover, Exodus, commandments, idolatry, and tabernacle. Busted down that tabernacle because there was idolatry. They were worshiping idols. Passover was it with the blood. Deadly plague would pass over your house. Prominent subjects, prominent words of, again, bondage, Moses, plagues, Passover, Exodus, commandments, idolatry, and tabernacle. Important subjects, bondage and oppressions discussed in Exodus 1, 8 through 22. Moses was the leader of Israel, that's Exodus 2, 7. Moses is one of the most colossal and majestic characters in the history of the world. Moses' early life and ministry is contained in the book of Exodus, Exodus 2 through Exodus 7. Demonstration of God's power is Exodus 7, 12. Passover is 12, excuse me. Night of the Passover sacrifices was a turning point in the history of Israel. It was the beginning of a new era for the people of God who had multiplied in number, were about to be redeemed. A new calendar was instituted in Exodus 12:2. The Israelites annually permanent ordinance, Exodus 12:13. Passover in Israelite from the moment in history God's people celebrated the Passover every Passover being a fasting ordinance, Exodus 15. However, memorial initial sacrifice in Egypt was an effective sacrifice. Before the temple was built, Passover, the Israelites gathered and killed the lamb. More important, they retold the story of the miraculous exodus of from the land of slavery to the thus from generation to generation people remember God's redemption and their from Egypt. Exodus 12:26. Once the temple was built, God commanded that the Passover celebration and the killing of the lamb take place in Jerusalem. Deuteronomy 16. The Old Testament records several times in which an especially significant Passover was celebrated in the holy city. Kings 23, 2 Chronicles 30:6-19. The Passover served by the Jews from Jesus' boyhood, recorded in Scripture, occurred when his parents took him to Jerusalem at 12 years old to celebrate the Passover, Luke 2:41. Later in life, Jesus regularly went to Jerusalem for the Passover, John 2:13. The Last Supper that Jesus ate with his disciples in Jerusalem shortly before going to the cross was a Passover meal, 1 Corinthians 5:7. Jews today still celebrate the Passover, though its nature has changed somewhat. Since there is no longer a temple in Jerusalem where a lamb can be slain in obedience to Deuteronomy 16:1-6, the contemporary feast is called a Seder It is no longer celebrated with a sacrificed lamb. But families still gather together. All yeast is ceremonially removed from homes. In accordance with the laws of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the story of the Exodus from Egypt told by the father of the household. When we compare the Passover lamb, the Passover lamb represented the slain, not the living lamb, Exodus 12, verse 6. In 1 Corinthians 2:2, we have Jesus Christ crucified. So they were both slain, the lamb and Jesus Christ. The lamb was without blemish, Exodus 12, 5. Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, 1 Peter 1:19. There was needed blood to be shed, the Passover lamb. Exodus 12, 7 tells us that that lamb had to have blood to be shed. John 19:34 tells us Jesus Christ came there out blood. Blood to be sprinkled in Exodus 12, 22, the Passover lamb. That blood to be sprinkled. In Hebrews 10:22, it tells us our hearts are sprinkled from an evil conscience, what the Jesus Christ sacrifice was for. No bone broken was Passover lamb, Exodus 12:46. A bone of him shall not be broken. Jesus Christ had no bones broken, John 19:36. If the lamb did not die, then the firstborn would, Exodus 12:3. Jesus Christ showed us that the wages of sin. Passover lamb represented those redeemed by the lamb to be sanctified to the Lord, Exodus 13:2. Jesus Christ tells, the New Testament about Jesus Christ tells us, ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 19. Thing to note, the manner in which the plagues divide into groups of three. One of the plagues in Exodus, warnings in the morning, Aaron used his rod. Second plague, there was a pre-announcement. Third plague, there was no pre-announcement. Each of the plagues in each one of those three plagues have been described as loathsome, deadly. The fourth plague, warning in the morning. Fifth plague, there was a pre-announcement. Sixth plague, there was a pre-announcement. The rod is not mentioned. First three plagues, Aaron used his rod. The second set, second three, there was the plagues in second group, involve pain and loss upon their victim. Then we have plague 7, 8, 9. There was warning in the morning. There was a pre-announcement. Plague number 9, there was no pre-announcement. Moses used his rod in these three last plagues. Each of the plagues in this last group involved dramatic upheavals of nature. The Passover chapter is also a key chapter of the whole Bible. As you read it, look for what is taught about the divine holiness and grace and man's sin and salvation. Why did God institute blood sacrifice, atonement ritual, Hebrews 9:22?